greatest books I ever read in my life. Matter of fact, when it was in print, I gave it to every couple that I ever married. I made them read this book. It's called Happy Though Married. And it's by an author named Tim LaHaye. He's not a fundamental Baptist, which you'd probably call an evangelical. But the guy was right. He had the home right. And he might go underneath the name of Baptist, but I don't think he's Baptist like us. But anyways, but he had the home right. He said, you want your wife to treat you like a king, treat your wife like a queen. The queen is always treated with royalty. Amen? Well, let's look at our paper now with that introduction. Ladies, please submit to your husband. And husbands, please be the leader that you lead in prayer. You take the people to church. A lot of times, Phyllis, the husband says, you take the kids to church, I'm staying home. No, you husbands, you take the kids to church. Bring the wife too, but don't count. You be the spiritual leader, what I'm trying to say. You take the lead. You make the spiritual decisions. You say, let's sit down and read the Bible together. You say, sit down, I want to pray with you. The men, not against women praying, but and doing that, but the men ought to take the lead. Trouble is, men want to be the big cheeses in the house, but they don't want to take the lead. They want the all the glitter and the pomp, but they don't want to do their own responsibilities. And you wonder why it's hard for a woman to submit to you when you don't do right. Ladies, I'm telling you, if they don't do right, you submit to them. If you want God to bless you, submit to them. Amen? And then we looked in Colossians, and it's 3:18, and we showed you again, just like we did in Ephesians. Why did Paul write these same things to the people in Ephesians? Because the groups never change. It's the same old thing from all, because the submission and rebellion is as old as time itself. But 3:8, here's the order of the home. Wives, submit unto your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children. Servants, obey your masters. Masters, give unto your servants. And that's the order that God gives us. And if we'll follow that order, God will bless it. Now, notice, that was the problem with Adam and Eve, with Cain, because Cain would not submit unto God. Remember, God said, just offer up a lamb, but he wouldn't. He offered up the works of his hands, but he wouldn't do what God wanted him to do. And when you don't do what God wants, well, I want to do what I want. No. You do what God wants. Amen? And because submission and rebellion is as old as time itself, and we see it there in Cain as a rebel. Now, look at, women are to submit to their own husbands, and husbands are to love their wives. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Men, I just got this. This was taught to me. This one I'm going to teach you now was taught to me by Tom Williams, Dr. Tom Williams. And I believe what he said here. Men, you're going to like this, ladies. Ladies, you're going to like this. Men, don't forget even as. Notice in Ephesians 5:23, 25, 28, 29, and 33, that little phrase, even as. Are you in Ephesians 5 with me? Notice verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. How many see that? And then notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as, how many see that? Christ loved the church. Then look at verse 28. So what men to love their wives as their own bodies? How many see that? And then 29. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord church, the church. And then verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Look at that verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Now, let's talk about that even as. In other words, that even as means this, that I got identically alike. Even as means identically alike. So men, when you go down and purchase a toy from the store, like a shotgun, fishing pole, a bolt, hunting clothes, something you want, whatever it is, and it costs, whatever it costs, you give the same identical money to your wife. Woo, even as. By the way, ladies, before you, this is not retroactive. This is something that we're just starting today. This is not retroactive. For instance, if I go out and spend $100 on some duck decoys or hunting clothes or something, anything, let's say I want to go to down here at Gander Mountain or Mountain Gander, whatever it's called. Which one is it? Gander Mountain? Gander Mountain. And I buy some goose decoys and it costs me $100. Before I buy that $100 goose decoys, even as, boy, you girls will be saying it all day long, even as, I should give Rosie $100. Say, honey, I'm going to go buy me some goose decoys for $100, but here's $100. You go to JCPenney and do what you want. Buy you something. Amen? Even as. You know, you'd be amazed. If we take a hunting trip, Brother Mike, we say we all want to go out goose hunting up there in Saskatchewan or something, me and Brother Eddie, and it's going to cost us $1,500 to go. Well, before me and Mike and Eddie go, we better have another $1,500 to give Belinda and Rosie and Jeannie. Say, okay, we're taking this trip. It's going to cost us $1,500. You girls just go have you a blast out shopping because we're going to spend $1,500 on this trip hunting. Can you imagine if you had an even as in your house? Tammy would be begging, Dad, please take David hunting with you. Jeannie be praying, Lord, move Eddie's heart to take another trip to Saskatchewan. I don't care if it is in the summer. Lord, let him fish. Anything. You see, we get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to go duck hunting. And I'm a klutz. And, man, I'm a noise. I knock things over and got to, you know, brushing my teeth and make, men are usually not quiet. So here's the thing. You wake your wife up. She can't fall back asleep. You wonder why they're not thrilled about us going hunting and fishing. Would you be excited if someone woke you up? Then if you got children, you wake the kids up. You leave. The kids are, she's got to contend with those kids at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning until that night at 12 and 9 o'clock. And you come home and say, hey, baby, I got my limit today. She said, buddy, I'm at my limit too. You wonder why they can't get excited. I can be like, Roger, come, hey, Linda, look at the string of fish we caught. Yeah. What else? I'm going to show you another stringer. I'm going to string you up. But this made so much sense as Tom Williams taught me this. Because I hunt and fish. I love to hunt and fish, you know. As a matter of fact, at the last funeral, the guy I preached his funeral for, he was a hunter and a fisherman. And I'll be honest with you, I'm worried about America. Because this younger generation, the people aren't taking their kids out hunting. They're not taking them out fishing either, hardly. What's that, bud? It's sad. It's sad. I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as Lukey gets a diaper trained, we're going to take him out hunting with us. I mean, I guarantee you, Lukey's going to be duck hunting by the time he's 7. I've already got duck calls and Lukey, come on, Lukey, call him in. I think that's American heritage for a man to go out hunting and be in the woods. I think it's good for them. I think it's good for kids to go out with their dad out in the woods, hunt and fish, camp. It's a good thing for us. We're losing those great things. And we're raising a generation that don't know how to do these things. Hello? Now, I'm not against you if you don't like to hunt and fish. I can't help it. No one ever, it didn't help you. You know, I'm just an all-American guy. I'm not saying you're not American. I'm just saying I'm an all-American because I grew up with baseball, apple pie, and hunting, shooting ducks, shooting rabbits. You say, oh, could you kill anything? By the way, every time you go to McDonald's, something got killed. I got to kick all these people off. How could you kill that little rabbit? Well, when you eat that cow, someone had to kill him. Hello? Now that God gave me permission. God gave me authority over those animals. Now I'm not cruel, but I think it's great that a man and a son go out in the outdoors. And I think it's good for our country that we have men that know the outdoors. And it's something special. It's hard to, there's just something about watching that sunrise and being out in that woods. And you get a sense that God's right there. Men know what I'm talking about. There's something special about it. And I think it rounds the man off too, bud. I really do. And if you're younger here and you got kids, consider taking them out with you once in a while fishing or something. And take them out in the woods and hike and stuff like that. You don't have to hunt. You can just take them hiking and things like that. But we need a generation that has a little grit in them. Amen? You know what our generation's got now? These little machines. What do they call them? iPods or? Yeah. Video games and stuff, and we're raising a bunch of idiots. Yeah. And I'm glad. You know what? Of course, I know I've got silver hair. Carl, when I was a kid, we actually in the alley we actually played kick the can. I would get up in the mornings and go to the Riverside Park. And my dad would have to come at nighttime to say, Rich, you've got to come home. And the only reason my dad did it because my mom yelled, Harvey, get him to come home. He didn't want me home, but he did because Satan, I hear my mom yell. But what I'm saying is this. We really need, if we would consider our wives, you wonder, why don't they get excited about these things? Well, first of all, we tear their life up with it. We go in debt for it. Hello? And we make them more miserable. How can they get excited about something that makes them more miserable? Right? And so, I really like what Dr. Williams said. You know, don't do it until you can save enough money. And if I have to buy something for $500, then I need to save $500 to give to Rosie. I like that principle. I know Tammy's eating it up right now. Huh. David, you hear what Dad said? He's the head of the house, you know? And so, now, ladies, I can't make your husband do this. I'm just suggesting this, okay? I'm trying to help the home. How many guys can think with me, though, if we would start thinking about our wives when we start doing these and gave them a portion, too, say, honey, I'm going to be buying this. But even as, I think you should have something too, because if I'm going to have this, you should have this. Are you with me? Well, I better move on. And again, I say, ladies, there's no retroactive money. Husbands, love your wife. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife. Love your wife when she's good. Love her when she's bad. You love her when she's nice and love her when she's unkind to you. Love her when she's healthy and love her when she's sick. Husbands, love your wife all the time. I think in my heart, men need to start staying in love with their wives. You know, I got down, we prayed at that conference yesterday. I told Rose, I said, you know, let's go up. I'll be honest with you, folks. I had a great time with, I just went really to hear Dr. Roy Thompson, to be honest with you. Rose and I have been married 37 years. We don't have a perfect marriage, but I'll tell you, we've got a pretty good marriage. And, I said, honey, let's just go down. And, you know, we've had 37 wonderful years. And I don't know how many years we got more. But I said, let's go down and ask God to bless our marriage. Help us to love one another to the very end. I prayed for my children that God would bless their marriages. And, we need to be concerned about our marriages. You know, don't let your marriage become old. I tell Rosie almost every day, you are so pretty. Husbands, let your wives know you appreciate them. My wife takes, it sometimes it's irritating to me, but she takes about an hour every morning just to do her hair. But you know what? Do you know what? I'm glad she does it. How would you like her just to be an old hag and walk her, hey, how you doing? You know, we say to our wives, well, why are you doing? Because they're trying to keep themselves up. Encourage them to do that. And thank God for them. Amen? And I really think we've been married 37 years, and I still chase her around the house. And I'm not trying to be evil now. I'm just, I think some of you fellas taking your shoes off. You quit chasing around. Hello, quiet in here now, isn't that? Keep the fire burning. Brother Kerry, I know you've only been married about maybe 8 years or so. I know you're just kidding. You're not many, many years, but when you kids are married 25 years, you still do then what you do now. Trouble is, young couples get married, and then after a while, it wears off. Don't let it wear off. Amen? Look at the next page. Boy, I was hoping Rosie was going to be up here. I'm going to talk to you about kisses now. Huh. Men, in the morning, give your wife a hug and a kiss. Don't worry about your lips. Even though they're tender, you won't wear them out. I'm 57 years old going toward, and they're still here. I know they're, but they won't wear out. Men, listen to me. You should kiss your wife every day. Some of you guys haven't kissed your wife all week. That's why we're having this class. Kiss your wife every day. Berleo, kiss Emmy every day. She says no. Say no. Preacher said I got to kiss you every day. Amen. Now notice, there's three kinds of kisses. First of all, there's a henpecked kiss. How many of you ever watched a chicken? I wish Rosie was up here. And she doesn't. That's why she probably stayed down for sure. But maybe Rod's has doing something. He says, "I gotta go, honey," and he'll just give her a real quick peck on the head. I'll be back in 4 hours. You know, I'm here with me. The hand peck. You know, we just give him a little peck on the cheek or the top of the head, real quickie. Are you with me? That's a hand peck. Just a little like a hand, just pecking. Then the second kiss is a hurry up touch kiss and smile. Oh, you're running and you're smiling and you both, but you barely touch lips. As soon as they touch you, you're back and gone. And you're smiling. Bye, honey. Then there's a He-Man kiss. That's what I like. You're Tarzan, she's Jane. Oh! This is where you really go and you really embrace her when you kiss her. I mean, I gotta go, honey. I mean, grab her in your arms. Brian, I'm telling you, grab your wife and say, honey, I gotta go, but before I go, I gotta have a kiss. And not a hen peck, and not a, well, one of them kiss off kisses. Come here, baby. Come here, Jane. I'm Tarzan. You grab her in your arms. I'm serious. You fellas all learn this. And, I mean, you really, you know how you used to when you first got married? I mean, really put one on. Really put one on. You might do it so good, they might say, hey, honey, why don't you go in late to work today? That's the way to kiss. Amen? You know what? Our marriages are hurting in Christianity. The Bible says marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. There's nothing wrong with a man kissing his wife. Long as it's his wife. Amen? By the way, you don't kiss your wife. You better watch out. Somebody might start kissing her for you. Over 50% divorces today is because you've let that intimacy break down. Hello? It's quiet in here, isn't it? Don't let it break down. Notice, there's a lot of kisser like you mean it. Put some passion in it. And then I put, there's a lot of jealousy goes on in the home. Example, husbands say, the wife will hug the kid and kiss the kids, but she doesn't kiss on me. Wives, if you hug on your kids and you kiss on your kids, you can hug on your wife, your husband rather. Hug on them. Your husband's more important than your kids. Or the wife will say, he shows attention to the kids but never pays attention to me. Husbands, you need to pay attention to your wife. You need to pay more attention to your wife than you do your kids. Hello? And by the way, I know this is gross, but the old man was right when he taught this. You know, you ever notice when the wife, that little baby gets a spit in there and the tongue, you know, if he wants to put his arm, let him do it. Woo. I'm not advocating it, but I'm saying if he does, he does. Hello? With a kiss, you know, if he slobbers on you, you let the baby slobber on you. Get away, you're too slobbery. What about the baby? He slobbers on you. What I'm trying to say is, let your husband love you. Even though he hasn't learned yet how to do it. Teach him. You teach us everything else. That's telling D. Cottrell, Tickle. I said, you girls, I'll leave you girls in charge. He said, preacher, we always are anyways. I said, I know, but I just feel better telling you that you are. Notice, we need godly women with modest apparel during the day, but we need, at home, we need husbands to be Tarzan, and we need woman, the wife to be Jane. And we need some passion in our marriage. Our marriages have become dull and indifferent. And you should have some passion in your marriage. You should have some excitement in your marriage. I'm serious. I'm worried about the Christian homes. I'm not talking about being evil. God knows my heart. I'm not talking about being evil. I'm talking about just loving one another. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, notice, I'm going to give you this one. We'll close and the bell's ready to ring. Did you know, fellas, get this. This is a literal fact. Did you know a large insurance company took a survey of men who kissed their wives before they went to work? They were 300 times safer than those who did not kiss their wife. In other words, if you kiss your wife before you go to work, you're 300 times safer than the guy that doesn't kiss their wife. The fact is, the man who kisses his wife before he goes to work in the mornings is 300% safer from accidents than a man who doesn't kiss his wife. And by the way, those insurance companies know, because they're the ones that pay the money out. They know a happy home is a safer home. Am I making sense to anybody? Look at the last thing. Men, love your wife. Every day give your wife a compliment. Every day try to give her, not every week, try to, if you can, something small. Take her out to dinner. Have like a date night. We're having a date night. And call her from work once in a while. Say, hey, honey, I just was thinking about you. I want to know I appreciate you. And tell her you love her. Write her notes. All this seems funny to you, but what did you used to write poems to your wife before you married her. You wrote those little notes. Oh, honey bun, I love you so much. Oh, honey bun, I can't wait to see your beautiful eyes again. I can't sleep just thinking about you. And you wrote all those notes, and now you went, bleh. You could write a little note, and put, if you know the dress she's going to wear the next day, you could put on there a little note that she wouldn't see. This is the prettiest woman in the world's wearing this dress today. Things like that. A fitly word spoken, the Bible says, like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Husbands, make your wife feel important. Make her feel beautiful. And you'd be surprised. Sugar goes a long way than vinegar. Amen? Next week we'll do this, and then I'll probably have to add another thing with it, and then that'll be it for the home. And I hope you're getting something out of this. We need to address our homes. And if you have strong, godly homes, you have a strong church. You have strong, godly homes, you have a strong country. The country goes as the homes go. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the time we had. Bless us now, I pray, dear God. And bless the church service, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We'll break for a few minutes. Next week, we're going to talk about children.